Week one, NFL football. We are back. Welcome back. Let's continue the process. We're going to have the usual format, just like we always do this year. We'll start off with housekeeping, and we'll have a special housekeeping for week one where I will essentially go over my picks for the year. And then from there, we'll slide into some would you rather. We'll go through the Fantasy Pros website and see what are the most requested this or that player questions, and we'll solve those would you rathers. Then we'll do a little reload, go game by game, and talk about script analysis of what we expect, and finish up with a few DFS picks. Let's get into it. Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process.
Housekeeping, housekeeping, me fluff your pillow, me fix your team, housekeeping.
So let's start with a little housekeeping, and I'll go through and give my division winners for every division, my sort of reasoning behind that. And if you've been rocking with me in years past, welcome back. You already know that technically what we do starts with the draft. But if you are new and you've not listened to any of the previous shows about how we attack the draft, don't even worry about it. Got your back every single week right here with the best free information out there for fantasy football and football analysis that you will find. Start with the AFC North. My prediction for the AFC North Championship this year is going to be the – oops, so sorry, guys. That's going to be the Bengals. I believe that Joe Burrow – it's not great that he didn't have camp. He had to deal with the injury, but they will be able to overcome that. This team feels like they should have beat the Rams in the Super Bowl that they faced them a couple of years back, and they're doing everything they can as an organization to get back there. They've got the right pieces. Defensively, they probably got enough. And as far as the division goes, I've got them winning head and shoulders. AFC East is still going to be the Buffalo Bills world until somebody knocks them off the podium. I like the Miami Dolphins. They're my other team besides the Bears. Love the Dolphins, but can't just go for them as a homer. They've got a lot going for them, and we'll hear a bunch of that today. However, the Buffalo Bills are the most complete team offensively in that division. Miami is missing a key piece, and that is one of their cornerbacks. Until he gets healthy, I'm blanking on his name right now. Jalen, we just traded for him from the Rams. Jalen Ramsey, there you go. Sorry about that. But until he gets healthy, the defense can't really round into what it can actually have potential to be. And so they will drop the Bills games, I think, maybe even both of them. But I don't see Miami overtaking the Bills for the AFC East. AFC South, I believe the Titans with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins become a more dangerous team. Doesn't look like a rebuild plus Henry anymore. They've got some pieces, and Tannehill knows how to run that offense. This is what he's been doing. So Derrick Henry will, you know, be the catalyst that drives it. But when we look at the rest of the teams in the AFC South, I just don't think there's enough there yet. Indy, they're far off. There's going to be some growing pains this year with Richardson as he adjusts to NFL life. The Jaguars are a good football team, but the Titans are a better football team. And so that's really what the letter of it will be this year. AFC West, I've got the Chiefs coming out again. I know some of you are not going to like that after watching yesterday because of recency bias. What you saw last is in your head, right? But rest assured, the Chiefs will win the division. In my humble opinion, you get Travis Kelce back. I think they'll get a deal done with Jones. They missed Jones more than Kelce yesterday is what I'm getting at because Goff had time to throw. He didn't look like the usual road Goff. He looked really good. You get that deal done, that changes the complexion of the defense. That sort of changes things for Mahomes. And obviously, of course, if you have, you know, your Kelce piece back, then, you know, so much better exponentially. Wild card? Three wild card teams in the AFC. I've got the Ravens as the first wild card. They won't knock the Bengals off for the division, but a paid and a healthier Lamar with an added weapon of OBJ plus Mark Andrews healthy, you know, some junkyard dogs on that defense. They could be the first wild card team this year. Second team I have is Miami Dolphins. We talked about how they can run up to the Bills, but I think without Jalen Ramsey all year, they can't win the division. But they will do enough to be there in the end. Third wild card team is going to come from the AFC East as well. I think the AFC East put three teams into the wild card this year, or the playoffs this year, and that'll be the Patriots. Bill Belichick is still the best at what he does. He can game plan from week to week better than none other. And so we can expect more of that this year. They will take a step forward with Bill O'Brien. This will be a lot better than play calling under Matt Patricia, which was very not great. There was also volatileness in the coaching staff because of what was going on with Patricia and bringing in outside guys who deliver his message better than some of the coaches on staff. So what we have now is, you know, Bill O'Brien coming back and maybe not a great GM, but really good at what he does in terms of being an offensive guru mind. And he and Bill Belichick he'll have the offense. Belichick will have the defense. And actually, Steve Belichick will be the defensive play caller. But, you know, Dad's going to oversee everything. Steve is finally ready. He's got a lot of respect with the players and the coaching staff. And he's been on staff for more than 11 seasons. He's earned the right to call these plays. And we're going to find out if Belichick the younger is actually going to be the successor of his dad. If this works out, the Crafts will just install him when Bill is ready to retire. And if his kid looks ready, that'll be sooner rather than later. But they would be the third wild card. Now, if we look at the NFC, I've got in the North, the Vikings coming out. I know the Detroit Lions are the darling, especially after last night. But defensively and on the road, I would wonder if they could continue to do this. I think, you know, I'm not going to back off of what I said just because of one game. My notes before suggest that road Goff would be the reason why they would not be able to win the division. The Vikings, I don't think, took a huge step back from where they were last year, and they can take a step forward with a new defensive coordinator that I think suits them better. So will this be a scenario where, you know, I get to play hot hand and jump on the bandwagon? I don't think so. I'm going to stay with what I said, and that is the Vikings are going to win this division. The Lions did look good yesterday, but, you know, historically, not that good on the road. It's going to take more than one game to prove it to me, and obviously you've got to withstand injuries and all that. But for as it stands, you know, I've got the Vikings, but that's going to be a great game. The Detroit Lions traveling to Minnesota this year to take on the Vikings. If you can win that game, you know, that's probably the path to victory right there. All right, moving along to the NFC East. I've got the Eagles again. I mean, this is a team that got to the Super Bowl. They won the NFC handily, and they've added a huge piece in Jalen Carter, which if he helps shores up their run defense issues, then I don't see any weaknesses on that defense, actually. And so there's a lot to consider when you think about who actually might take them down. There's good teams in the division, but not that good. NFC South, here's a shocker for you. I'm going to take those Carolina Panthers. Look, Frank Reich, you know, didn't have a lot of the things in Indianapolis that he would suggest he needed to win. And I would say he had some of the things that he needs to win. But here is the great setup. He's got a young mobile quarterback. All right, so you got that in Bryce Young. They went and put the best coaches around him. You know, in the NFL, when you come in, you usually bring your guys. It's like, you know, that movie, The Blues Brothers, when they're like, we're getting the band back together. In the NFL, when you get a coaching job, you get the band back together because you want guys that you know your system and can implement it from day one. You don't want to waste time teaching your system to some coach. So a lot of times you see this mentality of bring my guys with me. Frank Reich and his coaching staff will be interesting because he doesn't have his guys, but what he has is an all-star cast of offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, offensive assistants, assistant coaches. The Carolina Panthers front organization have surrounded him with possibly the best that you can have. I mean, they got Deuce Staley away. So, I mean, there's a lot going positively for this team in terms of the coaching staff, and they've given the play caller, Reich, what he needs in terms of a dynamic, mobile young quarterback. the Panthers drafted well. The Panthers moved up when they needed to. The Panthers hired well. The Panthers picked up Miles Sanders, who I think is a great fit for what they want to do. He's extremely underrated this year, and I've got a lot of shares of him because he will have an impact on that team. They can win that division. They can actually win that division, and I've got them winning the NFC South. NFC West, the 49ers, it's a weak division, but I do think two teams make the playoff from that division. The 49ers win the division, though. Wild card number one, I've got the Cowboys, and wild card number two, I've got the Giants. The NFC East is tough, just like the AFC East, and they actually play each other this year. So I don't expect either of these divisions to do a lot of losing outside of playing their divisions and playing each other. So, I mean, I know that would suggest math-wise that, well, maybe three can't make it from each of these, but they are so much far ahead of some of the other teams, it's not even funny. And so I've got to consider that just by thinking that they won't drop many games combined that are outside of their division or the other conference East division because they play that conference this year. So Cowboys and Giants, and then Seahawks would make up the third wild card. Geno Smith, so old to be taking steps forward, yet here we are. Maturation and getting the most out of him, getting the most out of that offense, Carroll's staff. They continue to do so, and I think this year it just gets a little bit better with more of an understanding of what he needs to do. If he can actually pump the ball downfield more, then we can see some increase in the DK Metcalf numbers, if you will. All right, so as we round up the housekeeping here, let's get into the awards. MVP, I've got Jalen Hurts being the man, and that's how that team gets to the Super Bowl, in my opinion, and he'll put up MVP numbers. Offensive Player of the Year, Justin Jefferson will continue the tirade that he left off on last year. Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going with TJ Watt. A healthy TJ Watt, you know, helps Pittsburgh make some noise. I don't think they make the playoffs this year, but I think him healthy is going to be proven as head and shoulders are better than any other defender out there. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Bryce Young. Watch out for the Panthers, y'all. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jalen Carter, also mentioned on the Philadelphia D-line. And then Coach of the Year, I'll go with Mike McDaniels down in Miami. They've assembled a great team. They've got great pieces. They've got a great system. So do they need Tua? No. Could they run the system with another quarterback? Sure. Is it really good with Tua? Yep. But it all is because of McDaniels and the tweaks that he was able to take when he came over from the 49ers and separated himself from Shanahan. There are parts of the Shanahan offense that McDaniels wrote with his blood, right? And so we're witnessing that here, but he's also taking it down a different path that he feels the offense is more effective in. And so far, it has proven that way. He's brought over players that get the concepts, and so it's a dangerous team. Fins up. Super Bowl this year, I've got Eagles and Bengals, and I've got the Bengals unfortunately losing again. I think they should have won, you know, the Super Bowl against the Rams, but shoulda, woulda, coulda doesn't count. This is the one that the Eagles will probably win. I think that this team is so good that they can't actually get there, you know, again. You get there again, and if they do, I believe that they will actually be able to come away with the victory. So that's how we shape up the. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. I take the Fantasy Pros website, which is a trusted, you know, season-long fantasy football, daily fantasy football website where people go and try to get information, ask for, you know, stats and, you know, tips and see who's injured and whatnot. But also, they have these tools like where you can ask, you know, should I play this guy or that guy? And they'll kind of give you a recommendation. And so every week we will have Would You Rather, where I will go through and essentially take 12 of these picks and kind of talk through them. The most popular searches on their site. Okay. So we'll start with Khalil Herbert versus Christian Watson. Actually, an easy one. As I was getting ready to record, we see that Watson won't play. We could switch it to Dobbs if you want. Khalil Herbert or Dobbs. And I do think that you got to take a Herbert here. It was always going to be Herbert because he's going to be part of the running game. Now, I know that Fields is their runner, right? But he can't have all the running plays. And that's the path to victory against Green Bay. I think they're tougher through the air. Jair Alexander is going to be out there stalking DJ Moore, I would assume. So when you have that happening, this passing game is still young in maturity level. And so I don't know that Fields necessarily has a propensity to check off and look for a second or third option. He's probably going to run before he does any of that. And so I like him, but I like Herbert as a part of that too. The Bears would really benefit from running this RPO with him and Herbert, and that would actually benefit Herbert. But getting Herbert on the screens and things like that, that's his game too. So much more on the bone versus any of the Green Bay receivers, just because it's a new group, it's a young group, it's an unproven group. I will be hard-pressed to say, yeah, those guys are going to do something, right? Moving along, Raheem Mostert or Courtland Sutton. I mean, Miami, you know, Jeff Wilson banged up. I just, you know, I don't see the running game as being super consequential, especially with the left tackle Armstead being ruled out for Miami on Sunday. There's going to be less time, I think, to throw it, but the run game may also be affected, I'm concerned. Tua and the offense will find ways to score points through the air. I don't want to rely on Mostert in a game that I feel like he could be game scripted out of if it gets out of control quickly in a shootout, which is what the expectation is from an industry level. So we'd have to go Courtland Sutton there. Also, Jerry Jeudy probably not going to play. I wish Jerry Jeudy would play, even if he was hurt, but he didn't practice today, which is never great. So I don't think that he's, I think we're going to find out tomorrow that he's not playing, but if he had played, or he could have been out there for a decoy for Sutton, and I would have definitely said yes on Sutton. This week, I'm probably not paying for Sutton in DFS. If you got him in seasonal, you get to play him. Roll him out there, right? He's going to be the wide receiver one, but I'm more inclined to run Denver's running game now. So it's Mostert or Sutton that I'm going with Sutton, but with, you know, the benefit of knowing he's going to be the number one, he's just going to get extra attention. So I'm concerned. Okay, Mostert again or Jahan Dotson. And it's the same thing with Dotson. Now, this one I will go Mostert just because Dotson, you know, again, okay, so we were dealing with the injury scenario where Terry McLaurin might not play. Find out right before we go on the air, Terry McLaurin is going to play. We need to get out on Dotson, period. Also, Washington won this game. I like the Washington defense of most of anything that they're going to do this game. And so if we like them, then they might be able to get ahead and then run the football. And so we like the Washington running backs. I don't necessarily need to go get the Washington secondary wide receiver. And I'm really talking through a lot of this more this week one for you new folks so that you might understand the thought process and really decide if you want to take my advice or not, you know. But it is based off of hours and hours of research months before the season and hours every week, so. All right, so Mostert over Dotson. Juju Smith-Schuster or Breece Hall. I'm going to go with Hall. Not sure what Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be able to do against this stout Philadelphia defense. They've got stout corners. Through the slot is the way to beat them. But Juju is new, so we've got to see how he works with this offense. And there couldn't be a better litmus test than facing the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, of course, it's in Green Bay, and Belichick has had the benefit of, you know, game planning for a while, not the coach you want to give that to. So like a week one, it's like, dude, this guy's almost impossible to beat because he just had so long to look at you. However, that's mostly containing to like defense and offense, right? So I probably get out on Hurts because of that. But if we're talking about this wide receiver in particular, I would pick Breece Hall over Juju Smith-Schuster because regardless of what's going to happen with Dalvin Cook, Cook's also coming back from an injury. So they're sharing the backfield. People like talking about the fact that Breece Hall's coming back from an injury. They don't like talking about the fact that Dalvin Cook's also coming back from an injury, new running back for the Jets. So I'm assuming that both of them can get some opportunity, just like the office isn't intended, and there's an actual role there. Breece Hall list as a starter, there's a role there. Juju Smith-Schuster, we're going to have to figure out what it looks like in real time. So let's go with what we know, Breece Hall. Okay, Mike Williams from the Chargers or Damian Pierce. Now, Pierce, the running back for Houston, that would be the way to attack the Baltimore defense. I just don't think that's a good idea this week. But Mike Williams, he's going to be one of my cash plays this week. I like the opportunity to get him in lineups this week, and so I would definitely take him here. Amari Cooper or James Conner? Out on Conner this week. Arizona's got a lot of problems, and Washington won't make them easy. I'll go with Cooper, who I'm also suggesting in DFS this week. I think that he can have an opportunity to showcase his skills out in the secondary. Deshaun Watson, we'll talk about it when we get to the game schedule. I don't want to spoil it, but we'll talk about why I think that they'll have more success. Okay. Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver, or Cam Akers. Now, I would go with Cam Akers here, but I'm not high on either of these guys this week. I would take Evans over Godwin if I had to take somebody, and I am recommending Evans this week. But outside of that, we're not sure because, again, I want to check chemistry with Baker if he is indeed the one throwing the football. The other thing about it, too, is Cam Akers is listed as the one. He's going to get the run. I mean, even when you have a rookie, like look at what happened with Gibbs last night, guys. You don't just throw a rookie into the grinder week one, just, 20 touches. Like you kind of let them feel it out, right? And so very comfortable in saying in this matchup, Cam Akers this week over Chris Godwin. All right, Brandon Cooks from the Cowboys over Raheem Mostert. I'll go Cooks just because he's going to be a part of the offense. Brandon Cooks has been good everywhere he's been. He's been able to catch a ton of passes everywhere he's been. He's been had less than stellar quarterbacks to run the football. Now he's got Dak Prescott. I like his involvement in this offense. This is an upgrade to their offense for sure. I know it's more of a maybe him on the outside if Lamb is running in the slot, which is Lamb's thing. But all the same, baby, we'll take Brandon Cooks. And then Brandon Cooks again versus Antonio Gibson. I like Brian Robinson Jr. this week, and so I have him over Gibson, but Gibson could thrive as well. If Arizona gets down as bad as I think, then both running backs could have a chance. But, I will stick with Cooks as somebody I'm expecting to be more part of their team's game plan. Okay, Terry McLaurin versus James Cook, Buffalo running back. Okay, I will take McLaurin here. McLaurin is the number one wide receiver. He's going to play. They already said so, so we're going to roll with that. James Cook is not going to be the only back in Buffalo. They paid some other guys to come in so they could have a look too. So we also know that Josh Allen is their leading running back. So I don't want to get crazy in this idea that Cook is going to somehow steal the show. I'm not convinced. As many of you are, obviously, from the ADP in the draft. I'm just not convinced. All right, Jamal Williams, running back New Orleans, or Drake London? I'll go Williams. I'm not doing nothing with London till he shows it to me more than those few flashes we saw last year. But Jamal Williams, yeah, because what's the other running back for New Orleans? It's Kendra Miller. That's the rookie running back that's supposed to be the hot sauce everybody's worried about. Well, homeboy's not playing this week, okay? So they only have the two backs on the roster. You're going to have to call somebody up from the practice squad or something if you want, but it's so late in the week. You're not teaching them plays. It's Jamal Williams. Play him. Play him if you have him in seasonal. Play him in DFS if you are playing DFS like I am this week, because that is going to be a key cornerstone that nobody's thinking about. And then finally, Terry McLaurin or Antonio Gibson. I would take McLaurin. I think Brian Robinson gets the rub over Gibson, especially because he was hurt last year to start the year. You guys remember this was the dude that got shot in the leg, so he didn't get to touch the football until late in the year. When he did, he was okay in flashes. You got to let him breathe now. Give him the rock, and they should be up in this game, so we should see him. And now it's time for the process to reload. Move it right along. Let's get into reload. If you are new, I'm just going to speak briefly about each of the games and what I think may happen. Nothing too overwhelming. Quick picks for Sunday. All right, that's a reload. So we'll actually just review really quickly. Thursday, Detroit at Kansas City. Detroit, like I said, got a great road golf. We have not seen him play that well on the road before. Kansas City seemed to miss Jones on the defensive line. You got to pay this guy, get him in there, because they had no rush, and Goff looked great because of that. You obviously miss Kelce too, but we know Kelce's coming back. Moral of the story, Kansas City, I would not panic. Kadarius Toney, people, who, I know you guys are worried. It seemed like he dropped some passes and stuff. It was really incidental. Even the one that everybody's so mortified by, the one that he dropped, it was behind him, right? But anyways, they don't have a choice. They're going to have to keep throwing it to him. The only other guy to step up was probably going to be Shee Rice. If you want to take a hit on him, that's fine. But Sky Moore wasn't around. You know, they went to Toney. That's going to be the guy every time it's not Kelce, right, when he comes back. And so what do I mean by this? I mean, I'm playing Kadarius Toney again next week. Surprise, surprise. But Kansas City will bounce back. I've got no worries about them. I've got no worries about the team or their trajectory or where they're going. And I do think that they get a deal done with Jones and eventually get him in. So it's all about, can they get that done before the playoffs? And if so, can they use some momentum to gain home field advantage? Because they would need that in the playoffs. If they have to go on the road to Cincinnati or Buffalo, wherever, I don't think that this is going to be their year. Reload. All right, we get into Sunday now. Go a little quicker. Houston at Baltimore. Houston is going to be mincemeat. They just don't have a lot, to do yet. I mean, they had a great draft, and you got great coach in D'Amico Ryans. You're so lucky that you had him as a player. Otherwise, I don't think you get this top head coaching prospect. So this should be a well-coached squad, but the defensive players, they will play better this year, but just not, you know, they won't be great just because that's not who they are. But they'll be better. As far as the offense goes, C.J. Stroud, it's going to be some growing pains, but what you got is Damian Pierce. And so they will run him. And this week, I think, particularly, they'll need to do that against Baltimore. And Nico Collins could have an interesting day just because we already got Marlon Humphrey out. Baltimore last year, we saw what happens when their secondary, they have a good secondary, in my opinion. But when they get injured, then the pieces start to fall off pretty quickly. So we've already got one corner down, right? And so there'll be a little more room to breathe in Houston, for Houston, than people are thinking. But Baltimore will still win this game. Their defense will still show up. They still got a chance to play very well defensively. I don't think the offense has to do a lot. I originally wanted to go Lamar Jackson this week in cash games for DFS, but I can't trust it because he just might not have to do that much. Dobbins is in play. This is a guy where they'll get up and you give him some run, man. Let him get his legs under him again. We know he's missed a lot of time from injury, so it seems like a perfect opportunity to let him play. Let him cook. Reload. Baltimore's going to win that one by big. Okay, Cincinnati at Cleveland. This will be a fun game, and it's actually in Cleveland. This is going to be a tougher game than people think for Cincinnati. They always play Burrow tough, and so I think you're going to have to rely on the running game here if you're Cincinnati to set the tone. So I very much like the idea that, you know, if you want to, you got to, you know, mix in, go ahead, run them out and feel great about it. I probably don't get there in DFS just because I want to be cheaper, but that's what they're going to have to do to establish it. I like Chase today. I like Chase. I mean, he's just unstoppable, you know, in certain matchups. And so he'll find ways to make it worth your while. I like Chase. I like Burrow, who's going to play. There's no injury designation, so he's good to go. Okay. Cleveland, though, I think is going to win this game, and here's why. Cincinnati, Burrow hasn't played yet, right? So I was thinking before the season, man, this is going to be his first preseason where he gets all the reps, they can go through everything, and he'll be fully loaded and locked and ready for week one, and then he gets hurt, right? And so you don't have that. And so I think there will be a bit of a slower start, just like there was last year, as they try to turn it on. So slower start to the year, but also they're in Cleveland. Well, Myles Garrett gives them a handful every time. So you've got that to contend with. I think Cleveland's defense will hang in there. Deshaun Watson's going to be better. He came in last year at the end of the year and didn't particularly set the world on fire, but you guys got to understand that was not an offense that was built for him. That was an offense that was built for Jacoby Brissett. Now that they have Watson in, they've got the offense installed that they want for Watson. Yeah, see how that works? So I think the ball goes downfield more, probably off play action more, because you still have Nick Chubb, right? And so Cleveland is going to win this football game off RPOs because you got a mobile quarterback. You've got a great wide receiver that he can get it to in the terms of Amari Cooper. And the other guy that people aren't talking about is Donovan Peoples-Jones, who came over here because Watson wanted him to. And they have a connection there that I think is going to breed dividends on the field. This is a guy nobody's thinking about, but I'm thinking about him. This is when we think about DFS millionaire lineups. How do we put together a fantasy millionaire lineup on like DraftKings, right? You got to think about guys like, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones, DPJ, man. Like, I believe he could be standing around in the end zone twice as everybody else is uncovered because you've got, you know, Njoku to worry about at tight end. And then you've got Cooper to worry about, like we said, and Chubb and Watson. Donovan Peoples-Jones, you guys. It's always the dudes with three names. Anywho, I think Cleveland shocks some people, and Cincinnati starts off 0-1, which won't be a problem. You know, they'll win this division, but Cleveland's going to make some noise. Reload. Tampa Bay at Minnesota. Tampa Bay is going to go on the road, and I think they get thumped here. It looks like it's going to be Baker Mayfield. I don't mind Mike Evans coming back because they'll need to throw. They'll need points. They'll need points. Tampa Bay pretty stout against the run, so I don't really have, you know, Madison as, you know, I was starting the week thinking that, yeah, he could be a sneaky play. Now for seasonal, you can take him because I think they get up and try to run the clock out, and so maybe you get some value there. So if you got seasonal, don't worry about it and play him. But for DFS, we don't need to get there. But I do like Cousins. I do like Jefferson, Hockenson. You can play all those guys. I got no problems with that. Addison, if you drafted him, sure, play him. But I'm staying away from that because we don't know what his involvement is yet in the offense, right? And so we can't just take camp as a precursor to understanding where he is. I won't do it. But I don't particularly like anything that I want to play, you know, overly aggressive on Tampa Bay. You know, if Mike Evans did because of money, then I'll play him. But other than that, you know, it's Minnesota's world. Reload. Tennessee at New Orleans. So Tennessee should go on the road and win this game. And I think that DeAndre Hopkins will have his way in the secondary. Marshawn Lattimore is not going to play, I don't think. We got to watch that one. If he doesn't play, they're, you know, the New Orleans Saints are cooked defensively. If he does play, he can still, I mean, it may be tougher, but he can still get the work done against, you know, DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins can beat him up. So I like Tennessee bringing in Hopkins in enough time to get him functional and established in this offense. New Orleans a little bit tougher on the ground. So Henry, you know, I'm hesitant to go there, but he'll do enough to keep the offense rolling. And Tannehill's been running this system. So he's not a superstar, but Tannehill knows this system and he knows enough to get the job done. I think Tennessee does go on the road here and win. Derek Carr, I'm not a huge fan of what he brings to the table for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, he doesn't move the needle for me in terms of his ability to push the ball downfield, get it to the open guys. So supposedly you got Michael Thomas. I mean, he usually plays week one, but that's it. But Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, and I do like Olave this week. You know, I don't know what we get from Thomas, so I won't go there. Jamal Williams, we do like him just because somebody's got to run the football. So individually, there are pieces on New Orleans that we can accept as great pieces this week, but I don't think that means they win this football game. I think Tennessee finds a way to win this football game. Treylon Burks will continue his emergence, and that'll be even more effective if Lattimore plays and runs around with DeAndre Hopkins. But either way, the Titans and King Henry are going to get off to a nice start on the road. Reload. Carolina at Atlanta. So, you know, Atlanta, I think what we saw with them running the ball with Arthur Smith last year, very effective at the things that they want to do with as a football team. So no Patterson this year because you were able to get Bijan Robinson with the first overall pick, right? So invested there. I think he's going to, you know, have a great day, great opportunity for him. I'm not, you know, rolling with Pitts or London or anybody else until I actually see it. I don't trust Ritter, but there's a lot on the ground to be done for Bijan Robinson that maybe opens up the world for the rest of those guys. We'll have to see. But I've got Carolina winning this game because they have a more complete team. I've talked about the fact that I'm happy that they've got Bryce Young. He fits the offense perfectly. They're a well-coached group. They've got Miles Sanders running the football, which I think is spectacular. I'll take that all and every day in this offense. And so I think he is a really important piece to understanding victory lane on Sunday in the DFS world. Got to roll him out there. Miles Sanders at that price is too soft. 5,100, I think, on DK. We're gonna use and abuse that one. And, you know, as far as Carolina goes, DJ Chark is out. But, you know, they've got Terrence Marshall Jr. They've got a wide receiver room that, I think can grow with the quarterback together. But most importantly, the running game can lead that, right? If they want to run this West Coast thing, I mean, I feel like they can do short passes to set up the run and be okay. If their defense can get some turnovers, then all of a sudden you've got some shorter fields. And I think that's how they win this football game here. I think you force Ritter to make a mistake that gives you a short field. Miles Sanders punches it in. The Carolina Panthers are going to win this football game and turn a lot of people onto what I already know about them, which is that they are, again, a well-coached group that could sneak into the playoffs. Reload. Jacksonville at Indy. Indy's going to struggle with Richardson as he grows. I don't think he's going to be, you know, very effective, Anthony Richardson, as he tries to pick up life in the NFL at quarterback for Indy. But you got to get him in there. They don't really have another choice. And so you have him. You don't have Jonathan Taylor. He's on the PUP list, physically unable to perform. So free square for Indianapolis can be Zach Moss if he plays. If he doesn't play, then you got to go with Deion Jackson. But for DFS purposes, it's so cheaply priced that I have some interest there to help make other things work. But Jacksonville is going to win this football game. And I think Trevor Lawrence is going to play well. Calvin Ridley is going to play well. He fits very well in this system. I know it's a new player to the offense, but the way that they were scheming things up last year and the way you look at the things in preseason, like, it's apparent that, you know, he's the guy. Christian Kirk is not the guy. You know, they've got it right on DraftKings where you've got to pay more for Ridley over Kirk, right? And I think some people are going to be thinking about last year and play Kirk. That's a mistake. Ridley's in a great spot this week. I really like him. Etienne, too, because you're going to have to run the clock out. And so, you know, the offense, I think, of Jacksonville will explode to begin, and then they'll be able to manage the game on the back end. Jacksonville's defense will be a nice play defensively this week, too, for DFS purposes. Or for seasonal, you might be able to pick them up and just roll with them. But Jacksonville on the road against a growing Indianapolis team, they're just going to have to figure things out. New coaching staff, new quarterback. I mean, it's gonna hurt. But, you know, you got to start somewhere. Reload. San Francisco at Pittsburgh. This is going to be a tougher game than most people are thinking for San Francisco because Brock Purdy is not as good as most people are thinking. He's going to struggle. They're going to have a rush coming from TJ Watt. This San Francisco offensive line isn't great, so I think Pittsburgh has the edge if we're talking D-line versus San Fran O-line, and they should be able to establish themselves in that football game. Now, at the end of the day, I've got San Fran winning this game because Kenny Pickett is also not very good, in my opinion, and a lot of people don't want to admit that. They want to say he's going to activate Deontay Johnson and activate this guy and that guy. I just don't see it. He's going to activate George Pickens. I don't see it. What I see is a guy that's not going to have a lot of time because of the San Fran defense. They're still a very good defensive unit. So path to victory, probably running the football against them. If anything, Najee Harris, play him and feel fine about it. But no, I don't think Pittsburgh's offense is going to light it up through the air. San Fran's defense will win this game for them. Their offense is not going to light it up through the air. Deebo Samuel, roll him out. Just roll him out. But I would feel okay about McCaffrey as long as he doesn't get hurt. Kittle already banged up, questionable, might not play. If he plays, I like Kittle. That makes Purdy's life a lot easier, and that can make the game easier. But if Kittle doesn't play, because that's his security blanket in the middle, if he doesn't play, then yeah, definitely McCaffrey, you know, makes the numbers. But San Fran wins this game just a little more narrowly on the road than you think. Reload. Arizona at Washington. Arizona, I don't see it. They don't got much for Washington. I think the Washington defense is in a great spot. I want Brian Robinson Jr. here. You want to play Gibson, Antonio Gibson? Not going to be upset at you. I probably pick Robinson over Gibson and just do it like that. I don't have any other interest in the Washington offense, though. No, their quarterback, none of that. None of that. I don't want to play with any of that. But they should win that game. Reload. Vegas Raiders going to Denver. The new-look Denver Broncos under Sean Payton. Sean Payton, always two running backs, Ingram and Kamara, right? Both 1,000-yard rushers several seasons in a row. Guys, they're gonna cook again with the same kind of magic. I think Russ is going to be better served this year. Payton is bringing respect to this football team again. He's bringing coaching to this team again. It was different under Hackett last year. Hackett shouldn't have had that job. Nepotism's at its worst right there. But he's cleaning this up, and they're installing an excellent offense. Russ Wilson will have a reemergence this year. He should be okay on Sunday, but I'm more inclined to the running game. Javonte Williams and P. Ryan, and I love either of them. DFS, we're going to play them together because they should be ahead. That defense is good, too, in Denver. So I expect them to cause problems for Jimmy G and company. Jimmy G is the check down man. So I'm not too convinced on this Davante Adams ripping worst season. It could happen, but Jimmy G just never throws it down the field like that. He's a check down sort of an artist. And so I just, I don't expect this huge ADOT from him. I just expect a more managed offense. Josh Jacobs, I got way more interest in against this Denver defense. I got no problems doing that. But outside of that, I'd be suspect as to, you know, what Jimmy G is going to be able to accomplish. Even though, you know, they're not going to get shut out. They'll put some points up, but it's, you know, this is Denver's game because of their defense. And then the running will also establish the running of the clock out. So that'll all be fine. I think Denver has to do less offensively through the air. You don't have Judy. I would have liked if you would have had him. Sutton should be fine. I'm not overly enthused, but I'm not going to discourage you from playing him. We're still, I think in DFS, I'm fading him to some degree. But if you want to play him, I don't have a problem with that. In seasonal, definitely play him. Don't feel bad about that at all. But Denver should win that football game in Denver. High altitude. I think Vegas is going to get ran right out of the building, man. Reload. Miami at the Chargers. This is going to be my favorite football game right here. Miami at the Chargers. I think it's high-powered, high-octane. I think Miami gets down early, and I think they have to come back. I think there's a lot of offense. I love Tariq Hill and Tua and Waddle over the run game by far. I think Miami's going to be chucking it downfield because until somebody proves they can stop them, that's what you do. I do think the Chargers on the other side of things, I've been waffling back and forth between Herbert and Tua. Herbert or Tua for my, you know, cash game quarterback. I like Herbert too. Miami's defense, I think, would probably be a little more stout against the run. But that remains to be seen. We have to see it in action first. Keenan Allen in play. Mike Williams in play. I just think both wide receivers from both teams and both quarterbacks definitely in play. That's what I like the most. Gerald Everett, sure. Maybe he's in play for seasonal. I don't think I need to get there for DFS, but especially because you got Tyler Higbee out there. But that is what I'm expecting is this high-power game that could hit the over. Miami, I do think, wins this football game. They're just so explosive, which is why I've been leaning towards Tua, and he's a little bit more expensive over Herbert. So I think people will be more inclined to pick Herbert in DFS this week because he's cheaper. But we can just get the Herbert production by bringing it back with his receivers if we go with Tua, right? So I think Miami narrowly wins this football game, but the Chargers are going to be fun to watch. The Kellen Moore offense, Kellen Moore came over as OC from Dallas last year. So if you remember Dallas last year, I want you to think about how we might translate that this year, right? And so I don't think Eckler's going to catch as many passes as he did last year is what I'm getting at. So still going to be effective as a runner, but different kind of an offense here. They're going to pass it a little bit more. So that's kind of where I'm thinking based on what Kellen Moore has done as a play caller. But Miami will win that football game, even though it'll be close. Reload. Philly at New England. This is going to be a tough one for Philadelphia because Belichick is just so hard to beat when he has ample time to game plan. So you're coming into New England, and he's had weeks to prepare. So I'm a little leery about Hurts' ability to go off, right? The Philadelphia defense is stout, but I think you got to go with Bill in this scenario. Now, if this was week two or week three or week four, I would just go with Philly. But he's had so much time to particularly game plan for this team. That's never a good thing with this guy. I like Ramondre Stevenson. Offensively, I don't know who is going to catch passes for New England. They will throw the ball, though. Mac Jones will try to throw the ball downfield. But as far as New England goes, you know they're not going to rely on one guy. They're going to have a bunch of different guys out there catching passes, trying to confuse you on where the coverage is going. They're going to try to be doing pre-snap audibles, moving guys around just to run the same old plays and burn you the same old times that they were in the first half. That's who this team is, but it'll just look differently. It'll feel differently, but it'll be the same way when we look at it on replay. I have no problem with that. But Stevenson is the thing that'll make it tick. And with the Philadelphia Eagles, like you've seen that's the way to beat this team is by, you know, gashing them on the ground until they prove us wrong, right? And maybe this year they take the step up. But till we see that, we got to say otherwise. So New England, their defense is no slouch either. I think Philadelphia is going to have a hard time running the football. It's going to be a close game, and I think I give the home field edge to the New England Patriots, even though by far not the better team, by far, right? But this will be a one-off. Reload. Green Bay at Chicago. Okay, so huge, you know, Midwest rivalry going back so many years. You know, as far as Green Bay goes, I don't think they have enough to come in and win this game because they're just too new. You've got Love and a bunch of unproven receivers, a bunch of unproven skill players. Now, you got Jones, and you got, you know, a nice running game. You've got Dylan as well, so you got to rely on that. Chicago, we know what they have in Fields. We know how dangerous he is for almost every team to deal with. But you have Khalil Herbert back healthy. We didn't have him last year. You do have DJ Moore, wide receiver one for Chicago now. So I don't think that'll matter. Between him and Komet, I'm not worried about them this week. Khalil Herbert and Fields is how they're going to move the ball via the run game. But I think that because Chicago takes that route, Green Bay doesn't have to force their baby passing game either. They can also keep it close with their defense, I think, and they can run the football with Aaron Jones. Now, I'm going to pick Aaron Jones and not Aaron Dillon and or Aaron Dillon because I don't think Green Bay is going to win. If I thought Green Bay would win, I would say Jones and Dillon because Dillon will get the time in the end, right, to run out the clock. But I think Chicago does just enough to win here just because the offense in Green Bay is so many new and unproven pieces. There's going to be a lot of that, you know, rivalry feeling in Chicago on week one. I think the Bears, who very rarely beat the Packers, will be able to actually pull it off here. Now, I do think that's going to lead Chicagoans to go crazy and, you know, make predictions that they shouldn't about the Bears and where the team's going. But as far as Sunday goes, we can expect a close one. I don't think it's a crazy shootout. This could even hit the under. And I think Chicago sneaks one out and gets a feel-good night. Reload. Rams at Seahawks. So Seahawks should have their way with the Rams. Rams are young. I think they drafted 19 dudes, brought, you know, with unrestricted free agents, brought 36 rookies in the camp. Love the way they embraced it, y'all. They just said, you know, we know who we are. We're just going to go fast, young, and quick. Fast, young, and quick, right? So we'll see if it works for them. But there's a lot of questions. The one solid thing for the Rams is the coaching staff didn't get decimated this offseason as they have every year. Every year, people come back and just steal all different types of McVay's coaches. this is the one year where they can bring back the same people from before and try to build on something. So that works well for them. They do have youth. They do have speed. They do have Aaron Donald. They do have an aging Stafford at quarterback. So I think they can be decent, but if he takes one more concussion, that's it. The jig is up. You already don't have Cup. Cup could go to IR. So you know, Van Jefferson there. But really, Tyler Higbee becomes the next man up as tight end. Tyler Higbee, you know, leading receiver on that team last year because of the Cup injury. That's where the ball is going to go on Sunday. That's the piece that I like for them. I'm not too worried about Cam Akers. If you want to get invested there, sure, go for it. But, you know, for me, that's a non-issue. If you want anything from the Rams, it's Everett. And Stafford can get it to Everett. That's the guy right there. That's the guy that's going to score the touchdowns if they need to have. On the other side of the ball, I do like Seattle. And they're going to win this game because defensively they'll be a little better than they were last year. Bobby Wagner's coming back. Now, I know it's not the same guy, the same 54 of old. But he is coming back. He will be a step up from what they've had. Now, in addition to Bobby Wagner, Kenneth Walker, I think, will be able to find some room. Okay, so if you have him in season, he'll feel good about that. But really, Metcalf is the guy I'm looking for, even over Lockett. Geno, show me you can get it to Metcalf. That exploit the weakness of this defense. But in one way, fashion, or another, at home, Seattle wins this game. Reload Sunday night. Dallas at the Giants. So the Cowboys going into New York to play the Giants, and I've got the Giants winning this one as an upset because Dallas didn't play any of their starters all of preseason. You don't just right away start running 100 miles an hour. You have to get the, you know, lead up to it, build up to it. I think that there's a huge risk of rust, right? I'm not even going to say injury, but rust, right? Timing, right? Missed this pass. Oh, just a little late. Those are the sort of small things that, yes, you can work on them in camp and in practice. But in the real-time game scenario, even if it's preseason, that's unparalleled experience. And so they didn't get that. And I think that when the moments come down at the end of the game, the Giants are going to be a little more disciplined when it matters, right? We may see a penalty by you know, somebody on the Dallas line. I don't know what it's going to be. But in some way, shape, or form, it's going to show up. Conditioning, mental mistake, somewhere. But the Giants, if they are to make the playoffs, as I say, they've got to win this football game, especially because you're playing the AFC East. And so they will win this football game. It's at home. I've got them splitting the series with Dallas. This is the one that they win. And I think Dallas wins when they play later in the year. But as far as Sunday goes, you know, Saquon Barkley, I like him. Waller, I think, is out, so you can't look there. I do like Daniel Jones. And, you know, at wide receiver, there's so many question marks. But he handles it well. He did last year. And Saquon Barkley can be the man between the two of them. They will figure it out in a very similar way that Chicago does. I know it's not as dynamic, but there's enough there to get it done. Defensively, I think you know, the Giants are going to play better at home than they normally would. But I like Cooks because Adoree Jackson probably showing a lot of attention to CeeDee Lamb on the day. I don't think you shy away from Lamb because of that. I'm not playing him in DFS, but in season, he'll feel fine about Lamb. But Cooks should be the more valuable guy, you know. And then, of course, with Dallas Pollard, you'll be able to run the football. I'd love to say they would win this football game. They should win this game. They are a better team, but I just think they're not playing the starters, the you know, getting it gelling with the play calling, everything. It's going to be a little too much against a motivated team trying to return to the playoffs in the Giants. So Giants win at home. All of New York goes to work feeling great on Monday. Reload for our final shot here. It's Monday night Buffalo at the Jets. And sadly, you guys, I just don't think Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are as good of a football team as most people are giving them credit for. He is going to have a rough day at the office versus this Buffalo defense. I think, if anything, the way to attack them is on the ground. So you've got Cook, you've got Hall. Why don't you use them both, right? I think that is it, and maybe you shift to the hot hand. But I'm more looking there than I am looking at, you know, in the passing game, who's he looking for? Rodgers likes things so particular. If anything, look at Alan Lazard. But I just think that he'll try to make a connection with the starters over Lazard. But it's not going to be there, I don't think, because it'll take some time to warm up. Rodgers typically starts the year slow, right? And so I don't, you know, see any difference here this year in that part of the process for him. This is a much better team. So even though it's in New York, the Jets are going to be overwhelmed with what Buffalo presents on the defense. Now, for Buffalo, the big thing for them is going to be, can you actually get a rush off, right? That's what you need to do. Because you've got Von Miller, but look, the torn ACL on the first year of that deal, look, nobody's saying it, but elephant in the room, he got paid a lot of money and potentially it could end up being a bust if he can't play. He knows it, they know that there's so much riding on this year that he's got to make it work. And I believe that he will. We have to have somebody show up on the other side and they've got to stay healthy. If they got some injuries on the defensive line or in the rush game, you know, the jig is up for them in terms of winning the championship. But in terms of on Monday, Josh Allen, I think you can lock it in. I'm not afraid of a Jets defense. I'm not afraid of Sauce Gardner. I think Stephon Diggs can take him. Gardner holds. He talks trash, and then he holds your jersey. He tries to get away with cheap stuff as a little corner. I see it. I see it on the replay all game. I think Stephon Diggs can have his way with him. I think, you know, Gabe Davis on the other side can be fine. Buffalo will be Buffalo, and the Jets are going to have to figure some things out. Play calling, you bring in Hackett to help out run the offense. I think that's a mistake. We saw what he did in what about what happened in Denver tells us that he deserves this job, would be my first question to them. Tell me that we're not doing nepotism again, because that's what it seems like, right? Anyways, I've got Buffalo winning that one. So that's what I think shapes up, you know, this week in terms of what we see game by game, script by script.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
And so finally then to end, we'll do our daily fantasy picks, all obviously taken into mind that I'm thinking about DraftKings as the website, not FanDuel, okay? So the one thing I will say is, especially a running back, there just seems to be more choices than I would have liked this week, because there are like a bunch of guys that you could go with that seem to have some running room this week based off of like the months of research I've been doing. But hopefully I can start to narrow this down as the weeks go along. But I just found that interesting for week one, that it was so many viable options. Let's start with the quarterback though. For cash games, I am going to just go with Tua. I'm just going to go with Tua. And he's $6,700. Now, you know, the other options I think are Lamar Jackson, 8K, Herbert at 6,500. I'm sorry, 6,900. And Lawrence at 6,500. Or even Cousins at 6,300. Those are the quarterbacks I'll play this week. So if I'm playing Tua in my cash games or 50-50 games, you know, the more safer games, who I think is I'm most confident in, it's Tua. Then the rest of those guys, I'll play in my tournaments. All right. So that is how the quarterback shapes up. Wide receiver for cash games, 50-50s, we're going to go Tyreek Hill, $8,200. Jefferson, $8,800. These guys, you know, should have great days, alpha ones, and I'm for it. I've also got $7,600. Brown from Philadelphia. Like I think he can have a day. Even if New England wins that game, he can still do enough. And I don't think a lot of people would be willing to pay up for him against New England in New England. So we always want to swerve, and putting him in a cash game is definitely a swerve. But outside of that, Metcalf at 7K, great value there. And then Calvin Ridley at $6,500, amazing value there. I don't see how I don't put him in there. And then Mike Williams at 5,700, that salary saver. These are the guys I feel most confident about. Now for tournaments, Keenan Allen, $7,300. Tournament play just because of his injury pass, right? So if I knew he was going to finish the game, I'd have him on the other side. But also Jamar Chase, $8,100. It's a tournament play because of the way we talked about how Cleveland plays Cincinnati so tough. But outside of that, you can go Waddle. Yeah, Allen then Waddle, $7,100 Waddle. Part of that offense in that game that I think yields us the most points this week. But then from there, I did have Higgins. I'm going to take him off. Jerry Jeudy got hurt. I take him off. But Chris Olave is there, $6,500. And Mike Evans at $6,300. Amari Cooper at $5,800. Those are the tournament wide receivers that I'm looking at. But you've got to mix in the cash game wide receivers too for tournaments. We're sure about those guys, right? And so don't feel bad about playing them. We want to play them. But those are the wide receivers. Okay, so running backs, we will go with for cash games. Bijan Robinson in the 8K, pay it, man. That's going to be one of the last times you get to pay 8K for him. So I'm okay with that. But Stevenson, 7K, Ramon Stevenson, I like that too. Again, against Philly, that's going to be one of their primary weapons to move the football is running it. So I like that as that late game hammer. And we talked about Aaron Jones, $6,300 against Chicago. I like that. Ken Walker, 6K, nobody's going to play him. That's the sneaky one for cash games. But then you could round it out with the guy I'm certainly picking 100%, Miles Sanders, 5,600, and Brian Robinson, 5,100. So full candor, I'm giving you pay-up options for cash games. But me personally, I'm paying down with Sanders and with Brian Robinson Jr. so that I can afford those higher-paying wide receivers, basically. All right, now for the tournament running backs, Josh Jacobs, $7,700. I have no problem taking a shot there. And then from there, you want to move down to Etienne at $6,900. But Dobbins at $6,600, great tournament play this week too. I've got Madison at $6,500. Can't be a cash game. Has to be a tournament game because, you know, the game script has to go just right. They've got to get up and, you know, he's got to be running the clock out for so long. So, but after that, interesting play here. Javonte Williams, but play him with Piran. We want to do the Sean Payton thing, right? So use them both. So $5,700 for Williams, playing with Piran at $5,100. Just like on the cash game running backs, we have a scenario here of two guys that are salary savers that are in a very positive scenario together. So as a tournament play, I love that. And then that's the running game, just those two. You go load up with your wide receivers elsewhere. Khalil Herbert, $5,300 for tournaments. And then Jamal Williams from New Orleans Saints, who we also mentioned, $5,100. So hopefully after talking through it this whole episode, you understand why I'm saying there's so much value down there. There is even value at the top. I mean, even AK for Brian Robinson. So, you know, wide receiver, I think it'll tighten up next week once DraftKings realizes from the results. But for this week, we just had so much to work with, and I do want to try to get some exposure to those guys. All right, for tight ends, you know, Mark Andrews, $6,200. I feel confident about him enough to put him in cash games, but you'd have to be playing it with Lamar. I don't want to play him without Lamar. Now, full candor, I don't use that for cash games, I think, this week because it costs too much when there's some better options that are cheaper. Goddard at 5K, Philadelphia against New England. I'm very invested there. I think that is an interesting option that I'm willing to gamble on at 5K because Philadelphia is going to have to adjust to whatever New England's doing to slow them down. And if New England is slowing down, let's say Brown or Devontae Smith, then Goddard becomes the play. And New England is much more susceptible to to tight end production than they are to wide receivers. And so I would, you know, feel very confident about that. But Tyler Higbee at $4,800, that's the man of the hour in St. Louis right now. So if you want to get their top receiver, you can at $4,800 this week for cash game purposes. Now, Austin Hooper, I've got some interest too, down at 3K. We already talked about Jimmy G. Jimmy G for the Raiders has been a check down artist. They bring in Hooper, who can actually catch the football, and he's healthy, unlike Waller was last year. Look, Jimmy wants the check down. I think the rush will be coming. He'll have plenty of chances to do what he wants to do, right? And so I like at 3K, that's value right there. That'll help you fit in some great pieces to your cash game. Now for tournaments, $5,900 for Hockenson, and feel good about it too, and feel very good about it. Now, Kittle, $5,700. It's just the thing if he plays and if he stays healthy, right? But at $5,700 at a tournament play, that's fine. Ingram at $4,700. We like it because Trevor Lawrence for the Jaguars showed a comfortability in getting it to Evan Ingram late down in the season. He showed a trust with him when he needed yardage, right? And so as a tournament play, I like it because there's some upside there. But I feel most sure about, like, the wide receivers, and particularly Ridley, right? So Ridley, Ingram, and then I would probably put Christian Kirk behind them. But if you had said Ridley and Kirk and then Ingram, I'd be okay with that too. But I just feel like Lawrence will move it against Indianapolis. There's no reason not to. Gesicki, $3,200 for a tournament play. Love that for Miami. Mac Jones going to be needing to beat the rush and get the ball out of his hands against Philadelphia. And so Hunter Henry is the blocking tight end, not the catching tight end. Gesicki's the guy that they'll put in the screen, that they'll motion out into the screen or motion out, you know, from the backfield to the outside. So I like Gesicki if you want to take a tournament spin on it. And then Hayden Hurst, 3K. You guys know he plays for the Carolina Panthers now? Because he does. Hayden Hurst plays for the Carolina Panthers. And again, giving Bryce Young these weapons that I think are going to help him have enough success in year one. That's a nice check down option right there. In addition to a budding receiver core. So I feel very positive about his opportunity to activate some of these guys this week. But that's what I've got for DFS. And then for defense, you could obviously pay up 4K for the Ravens, $3,800 for San Fran. Sure. If we want to get more clever, Denver at $3,600, the Jaguars at $3,500, Seattle at $3,300. I don't see why you wouldn't just play Washington at $2,800 everywhere. That's kind of what I'm going to do. That's the cheapest thing that I could find that I feel okay about. I know Tennessee is cheaper than them, maybe 2,600, but I don't know. I think Olave and company got a trick or two up their sleeve, even though they might lose that game. So there you go. Guys, that's it for week one, my analysis. We will come right back here next week and talk about it all. www.tigerbombsae.com. That's the website. You can listen to this podcast on the process page there. You can watch it on the YouTube link there. You can go to YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or X or whatever it's called, or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. So Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, just search the same way. Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This will come up. Like and subscribe or whatever is applicable. And we can keep up every week putting you in position to win your fantasy football leagues and Sunday contests. Good luck, guys. Talk to you next week.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.